Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom and we are now in Nedarim Daf Gimel Amud Bet. It's the second podcast of our series on Nedarim. And the second Mishnah in the first Perek continues with the issues of Hafla'ah, of proper declaration of Nezirut. If a person says, Hareini Nazir Min HaChartzanim, if he explicitly abstains only from the chartzanim, later on in the sixth parak we'll discuss what the chartzanim are, but for right now we will leave it as the peels, umin hazagim, which we will understand to be the pits, which are mentioned explicitly in the text, as we've seen, take a look at page one of the handout, umin hatiglachat, or somebody says, I am banning myself from tiglachat, from shaving, umin hatuma, or from tuman mate, hareza nazir. In other words, if somebody declares a nizirut, in which they attach themselves to only one of the explicit prohibitions, it is a valid hafla. And everything applies to them. So if a person says, Hareini Nazir Min Hatuma, they still can't drink wine, they still can't have grapes, not pits, not peels, not grape juice, nor can they shave, etc. Now the Gemara notes that this Mishnah does not accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Matnitin deloka Rabbi Shimon. Detanya, Rabbi Shimon omer eino chayav an shiidor mikulam. Rabbi Shimon says that you are not chayav as a nazir until you explicitly ban yourself from all of the issues that are prohibited, which includes all the parts of the grape and the wine and shaving and tum'ah. Rabbanan clearly disagree. That's the opinion in our Mishnah. It says even if you only abstain, by your declaration to abstain from only one of them, you still are a full Nazir. And now we will see what the reason is. My Talmud Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon say that you need a full declaration? So Amar Kra, if you take a look at Pasuk number one on the page, Mikol Asher Yer Asem Migefen Ayan Michartzanim V'yad Zag. The text itself lists all sorts of pieces of the grape, the peel and the pit and the grape itself and the grape juice and the chometz yayin, etc., indicating, according to Rabbi Shimon, that that is what you have to declare. Right, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbanan Maitamayu, so what do the Rabbanan, what is their reason for saying that even a partial declaration makes you a full Nazir? Amakram Yain v'Sheichar Yazir. In the previous Pasuk, it says that he bans himself from Yain v'Sheichar Yazir. So in other words, even if he bans himself only from one of the things, which is the wine, that is enough. Now, for Rabbi Shimon, Nami Haktiv Me'an V'Sheichar Yazir, and now we're playing Drashic Ping Pong. Rabbanan say Yain V'Sheichar Yazir proves that you only have to ban yourself from one. Rabbi Shimon does not accept that meaning of the Pasuk. So what meaning does he give to the Pasuk? He says that Yain V'Sheichar Yazir is not there to define the haflaw, the expression, which is proper, but rather to tell you the extent of the implications of a net of Nezirut, that even Yain Mitzvah, Yain, that there is some sort of obligation to drink, nonetheless is also covered under that, and if a Nazir, a person becomes a Nazir, they are also not allowed to drink Yain Mitzvah. Let's see what Yain Mitzvah is, Mahi. So they begin with Kiddushta v'Avdalta. Are you going to suggest that the Yain Mitzvah that you're banned from is the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah? Now there's two ways to read this statement. I'll present both of them. They're both on the page. This is the way Rashi reads the statement, which is declarative. After all, you already are forsworn from Har Sinai and committed by the mitzvah of Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, as Rashi quotes from the Masechet Pesachim, Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, you must remember the day of Shabbat to sanctify it, and the way that the Gemara reads it is, Bichnisato Vitziato, when the day begins and when the day ends, and Zochreyu Al Hayayin, that means that you're supposed to have wine at the beginning and at the end of the day, that's Kiddush and Havdalah. So according to the way Rashi reads it, the Gemara is declaring, after all, you are already forsworn from Har Sinai. You are already under an oath from Har Sinai to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush and Havdalah with wine, so Nazir can't trump that. Then Rashi has to somewhat elaborately point out that that a Nazirut really in this case would be more like a shvuah rather than a neder, because after all, the Gemara in Nedarim that we learned a few weeks ago indicates that a stringency or a power of Nedarim over shvuot is that Nedarim affect a mitzvah. If you ban benefiting from a sukkah, you can't sit in the sukkah, as opposed to a shvuah, which will not work that way. So Rashi then has to explain that in Nezirut, it really is an Isur Gavra, and therefore it would not trump that which was in Har Sinai. Rabbein Tam has a different approach, and he reads this as a rhetorical question. Rabbein Tam points out that Midda Oraita, Kiddush, and Havdalah are verbal. Midrabanan, make it on wine. But Midoraita, you say, this is Shabbat, and it's a Zechel Masa Breshit, and a Zechel Tziat Mitzrayim, and you fulfill the mitzvah. Therefore, the Gemara here is saying, there is no such thing as Yain Mitzvah. There is no wine that you're obligated to drink Midoraita, that Nezirut, that you need a Pasuk to tell you that Nezirut trumps. Clearly, if you take a vow of Nezirut, then you're not going to drink Arba Kosot, and you're not going to drink Kiddush and Avdol, other things that are Durabanan. Right, so therefore, Ela Kiha Damarava, rather, what's Yain Mitzvah? Shvuah She'eshtef, a person says, takes a vow, I'm taking a vow that I'm going to drink wine. Chazav Maharani Nazir, and then afterwards he said, I'm a Nazir. Atu Nezirut Chayla Al Shvuah. Then the Nezirut comes and trumps the Shvuah, and even though he's Mushbav Omeid, nonetheless, he still can't drink wine. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says, Yain V'Sheichar is there not to tell you that a mini Hafla'ah is good enough, but rather to tell you that Yain Mitzvah is also covered. So what do Rabbanan do with that? Rabbanan Nami, they agree with that. So the answer is, Imkein Le'makra Miyayin. The Pasuk would say, Miyayin, not Miyayin V'Sheichar. Why does it say shechar, which we are going to understand means not mead or some other flavor, but rather also wine, grape wine? Mai v'shechar, sham min atarte. So yayin v'shechar is there to teach you two things. First of all, that a minimal hafla is good enough, the position of our Mishnah. And second of all, that yayin mitzvah is asur ki yayin reshut. Now, Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon do with Yain v'Sheichar? Hainotam v'nachatav Sheichar, lalufe Sheichar, Sheichar l'mikdash. If you recall, the word Sheichar appears in Vayikra Perak Yod, when the Torah prohibits Kohanim from coming into the Mikdash having had any wine. It says Yain v'Sheichar. It doesn't explain what that means. So Rabbi Shimon says, why does it say Sheichar here? To teach you, "Chtiv yain v'shechar teishatav v'nachaitach." Ma gabe nazir yain hu delitzar. In the case of nazir, we know it's only wine because of all of the other references to the grape and the parts of the grape. So we know it's only grape wine and not other mead or beer, etc. Other drinks are not prohibited for a nazir. So therefore, we have yain v'shechar written in the case of nazir. One is there to teach you yain mitzvah ki yain reshut, and the other is to teach you that just as we know here that it's only wine, similarly, with reference to the isur b'al mikdash, that it is only wine and not other drinks. V'lafuke mid Rabbi Yehuda, and that is to oppose the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who said, "Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer achal devela ukiilit." If somebody ate one of these figs, this particular kind of fig that evidently would give some sort of an alcoholic response, shatad dvash v'chalav, or he drank something else, honey, milk, some sort of a mead that would have an alcoholic effect, v'nichnas l'mikdash chayav. Rabbi Yehuda said, "You are chayav mita for going into the mikdash." Drunk even on non-wine substances. So Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that, based on Yain v'Sheichar. Good. So that's one mahalach that we have in understanding Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, the reason that a mini hafla'ah is not enough is because the pasuk says, Mechartzanim v'yadzag. What does he do with Yain v'Sheichar? He does two things. One of them is Yain mitzvah ki yain reshut, and the other is to tell you that Yain here defines Yain there. Yain v'shechar there in Bi'al HaMikdash. The Rabbanan evidently adopt the position of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that in Bi'al HaMikdash, any alcoholic substance will create the prohibition and the culpability. Therefore, there is no gzeirah shavah. Therefore, Yain v'shechar is there for two things, Yain mitzvah ki yain reshut, and a mini hafla'ah being enough. We have a different way of explaining why Rabbi Shimon says what he does. Rabbi Shimon, lately, isur chalal isur. We know that Rabbi Shimon does not accept the notion that an isur can become more asur. Right? The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, achal nevela b'yom kippurim patur. Rabbi Shimon is of the position, is of the opinion, that if you have an animal that died improperly, and it's a nevela, and it died before Yom Kippur, and then you eat it on Yom Kippur, you're not chayav karet for eating on Yom Kippur, because this animal could not become more asur. Once it was already asur as a nevela, it can't become more asur. And so therefore, the Rashi explains it, in isur chalal isur, apply that here. When the person says, I'm banning myself from chartzanim, so then we can't add on to it another isur of zag, and of yayin, and chometz, and mishrat, and all of the other things that go along with the nazir. So that's another way of understanding why Rabbi Shimon says that if you have a minimal hafla, it's not enough. It's not that because there's something missing in the kind of hafla you have, but rather because you've already defined a minimal isur, and you can't, and nothing will be able to add on to the top of that. Now, the Rabbanan Nami Haktim Mikol Hashayas Avigafrayan. Now we go to part two, which is, what are the Rabbanan going to do with Rabbi Shimon's Pasuk, which lists all the details? Mikol Hashayas Avigafrayan, Michatzanim, Viadzag. They said, you know why it says mechartzanim v'yadzag, etc.? It's to show you that all the composite pieces of Isur Nazirut can join together. So if you have a half a kazayit of chartzanim, a third of a kazayit of zag, and another little bit of let's say the meat of the grape itself, that's considered a kazayit. We don't say you have to have a full kazayit of chartzanim or of zag. Mechatzanim v'yadzag is to tell you that there's tseruf. That's something we'll deal with later on in the sixth parak. Now, what's Rabbi Shimon going to do with that? Rabbi Shimon lately tseruf. Rabbi Shimon just doesn't accept the principle for a simple reason. D'tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol shehu l'makot. Rabbi Shimon says when it comes to isuri achila, prohibitions dealing with food, you get makot even if you ate only a minimal amount, meaning there is no shir. Kazayit is only for korban. Right? Lomru kazayit elo le'inyan korban. So for instance, if you eat less than a kazayit of chalev, you're not chayiv a korban. But for makot, for instance, if you ate a tiny piece of nevela, then you are chayiv makot. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says there is no issue of tseiruf, because in the case of a nazir, all there is makot. And therefore, even if you ate a tiny piece of grape, you're chayiv anyway. So you don't need to have that be tseiruf to something else. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is the next piece of Mishnah Bet, the second, third of Mishnah Bet, Hareini Kishimshon, a man takes a Nazirut, and as I pointed out on page one in the introduction, the one famous Nazir that we have in Tanakh, we have several of them, but the one famous Nazir that we have in Tanakh, of course, is Shimshon. And I mentioned in the previous podcast that it would be worthwhile reading over chapters 13 through 16, inclusive of Sefer Shoftim, the story of Shimshon, because all of these terms will then become clear. If a person says, I am like Shimshon, or Kiven Manoach, I am like the son of Manoach, or Kibal Delila, like the husband, it's unclear why husband, but the man of Delila, that was the woman who finally got his hair cut. Kimisha Akar Daltot Aza, or I am like the one who uprooted the gates of Aza, the city walls. Kimisha Nekru Plishtim Etinav, or I am like the one who the Plishtim poked his eyes out. Hareza Nazir Shimshon. Then he is classified as this unique sort of Nazir, Nazir Shimshon, who we will learn about in the next podcast, in the next Mishnah, which is the end of Mishnah Bet, but we'll get to it at the beginning of the next podcast. Now, all this is again dealing with hafla'ah, but this piece of the Mishnah is saying that there are several ways to become a Nazir Shimshon in several terms. It sounds from the Mishnah as if you said any one of these five, you would be a Nazir Shimshon. However, the Gemara deals with the specificity of the Mishnah, and according to the way most Rishonim read it, that really won't be enough. So the Gemara says, Lama li min nikol halein? Why do I need to teach all of these? And that's kind of a strange question. There's a very obvious way I need to teach all of these. I need to know that Shimshon is enough, or Ben Manoach is enough, or etc. So we have to read this question a little bit differently. It really is, why does the person have to say all of these? Now, he doesn't really have to say all of these, but as we'll discover, according to most Rishonim, he does have to say Hareini ke Shimshon or ke Ben Manoach, and then one of the last three terms also. Right, and what's the reason? Tzrichi di amar hareini shimshon. If the guy just said hareini kishimshon, havei amena shimshon achrina. Maybe he's referring to some other shimshon. Harinika Shimshon, I'm like the Shimshon the race driver. Kamash Malan Kiven Manoach. That's why he has to also or can alternatively say Ben Manoach. Vitana Kiven Manoach, Havimena Ikad Mitari Hachim. There's something also, some other guy called Ben Manoach. After all, in the story of Shimshon you find that he had brothers at the end. When he's buried with his brothers come and bury him. They're also Ben Manoach. Right? So now, that's why you have to add in something that specifies which Shimshon you're referring to. The famous Shimshon who was the man of Delila, the famous Shimshon who the Plishtim poked his eyes out, the famous Shimshon who uprooted the gates of the city of Aza. Again, there's a machloket Rishonim here as to whether or not the person has to say these things, and if failing to say these things, the haflah is no good, or if he says just Shimshon, and we ask him afterwards whether, and then he says, yes, that's the one I meant, that'll be good enough, but if he says these things, then even asking him afterwards won't help, if he says, I didn't mean that. Nonetheless, that's the presentation, and that's Hashem, we will continue with the end of Mishnah Bet and a clarification of what a Nazir Shimshon and how unique it is in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.